This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, September 10th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O. At sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. Even more so today, as you know, the first full weekend of the National Football League yesterday. Giants beat by the Cowboys last Wednesday. But other than that, a full group of games yesterday. We're going to start with the two I thought were the most important and the most interesting. We'll leave the Jets till later. That was a big story in New York, but I don't think that's the most important nor the most interesting. But yesterday, I thought the game of the week was San Francisco at Green Bay. San Francisco, who I've picked to go all the way this year, against Green Bay, obviously Super Bowl champs 2 years ago, 15-1 last year. At Green Bay, Green Bay favored, but the 49ers got the job done, and you have to give them a lot of credit. They look like the best team in football. I mean, for them to go into Green Bay to put the clamps essentially on Aaron Rodgers, he's got to throw it 44 times, and beat Green Bay, I won't say handily, but certainly had the game in control most of the game. San Francisco 30, Green Bay 22. I think Jim Harbaugh and his team sending a message to everybody in the NFL that they're going to be very, very tough to beat. If Alex Smith improves a little, and I think he did improve a little at the end of last year and was certainly good yesterday, boy, does he have a lot of weapons around him. Frank Gore, Randy Moss catches his TD pass. Vernon Davis, Michael Crabtree, I mean, and a great defense. They're the complete package, the 49ers. Yesterday, Smith, 20 for 26, two touchdowns, no picks, 211 yards. David Akers, the ageless wonder, kicks a 63-yard field goal at the buzzer at halftime to tie the NFL record. If you saw the play, hit the crossbar, bounced over, and even he was amazed. But San Francisco putting it all together, Aaron Rodgers having some trouble. I mean, their offense was not that good, 30 for 44, 303 yards, two TDs, one pick for Aaron Rodgers. But Randall Cobb with a 75-yard punt return, despite a block in the back, the one major call that the officials missed overall, the replacement officials essentially given good grades. You'd like to see the regular officials back, of course. But they certainly missed a block in the back on that one. But irrelevant, because San Francisco still won the game. I thought a number of calls went against San Francisco early. Jim Harbaugh was losing his mind on the sidelines, but it all turned out good for San Francisco in the end. 49ers 30, Green Bay 22. The 49ers, to me, clearly send a message to everybody. And I think, well, I picked them to win the Super Bowl. That's all I'll say at this stage. Obviously, it's very early. The other fascinating game and good, close, competitive game you expected between two contenders. Pittsburgh goes into Denver for the beginning of the Peyton Manning era in Denver. Denver 31, Steelers 19. Very little offense early, no scoring in the first quarter. Then both squads decided to go no huddle, and the no huddle will be used a lot this year. It's just a way to tire out defenses, to not allow them to make substitutions, and frankly, to get some offensive points on the board. And that's exactly what happened yesterday. Peyton Manning, to me, looked very good in his debut, 19 for 26, 253 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. At times looked like the old Peyton Manning, threw his 400th touchdown pass of his career, a little screen pass to Demaryius Thomas, who took it 71 yards. No Sean Moreno with a rushing TD. The problem for Denver was in the third quarter. Denver only had two offensive plays, the second one being the 71-yard touchdown screen pass to Thomas. But counting halftime, Peyton Manning was on the bench for like over an hour of real time. But he comes back to lead them down the field to hit Jacob Tammy, his old running mate in Indianapolis, for a touchdown. and the two-point conversion to put them up 22-19 late. Then Tracy Porter with the backbreaker picks off Ben Roethlisberger, returns it 43 yards for a touchdown. That was the clincher. Denver 31, Steelers 19. Steelers are still going to be very tough. Roethlisberger 22 for 40, 245 yards, two touchdown passes. Heath Miller with a touchdown catch. Wallace with a touchdown catch. Steelers are a very good team. This was a very big win for Denver. It looks like Manning can make all the throws. And if you watched Ron Jaworski break down that game, he said Manning has been getting better every preseason game into the regular season. He's come light years from last year. Certainly looks like he can make all the throws. Of course, the leadership is there. The ability to change plays at the line of scrimmage, which Manning does as well or better than anybody in football. Denver gets a big win at home. John Fox with a big win at home. Denver 31, Steelers 19. Those were the two I thought most interesting slash most important games. Obviously, they're all important, but those were the games I thought among teams that at least should be playoff teams at a minimum. The next game we'll go to was because of all the hype at the Meadowlands. The Jets had taken over New York the last few days. Yankees in Baltimore to play the Orioles. We'll get to that later. But football-wise, the Giants having lost Wednesday and already taking a minor pummeling in the paper on Thursday. Look, the Giants had a fantastic run last year. They weren't that much better than the Eagles last year. They weren't that much better than the Cowboys last year, but they got on that run. Nowadays, it's not about being 15-1 in the regular season, see Green Bay, or winning 13 or 14 games like the Patriots do virtually every year. It's about getting hot at the right time. The Giants were able to do that last year. Whether they're able to do that this year or not, it remains to be seen. But the Jets, after having neither their first nor second quarterback, neither Sanchez nor Tebow, being able to lead the offense to a touchdown in three games. You'll recall McElroy scored, led the Jets offense to their only touchdown in the fourth exhibition game. Yesterday, the Jets explode against I don't know what happened to Buffalo team. Jets 48, Buffalo 28. Mark Sanchez was very good now. He got a lot of time. The offensive line for the Jets really stepped up. Buffalo with Mario Williams, Anderson from the Patriots, made very little noise against the Jets. Couldn't get any pressure on Sanchez. Sanchez, 19 for 27, 266 yards, 3 TD, 1 interception. That was early in the game, that ill-advised, almost shovel pass that hit the tight end in the shoulder and got picked off by Buffalo. But it was never a game. Ryan Fitzpatrick was terrible. Now, that continues what happened to Fitzpatrick the second half of the year last year. He just was not very good, nor was he good yesterday. In fact, 48-28 doesn't even tell you it wasn't even that close. Jets were up 21-0 and really dominated both sides of the ball, 27-7 at the half, 41-14 after three. They coast home to a 48-28 victory. The Jets had some weaknesses, but essentially it was all when the game was over. C.J. Spiller, who came in for Freddie Jackson, who hurt his leg on a, if you saw that play, just an awkward hit on his leg. No word yet, MRI today. But C.J. Spiller, 169 yards rushing, two TDs, including a 56-yard touchdown run. But it was way too little, way too late for Buffalo. Fitzpatrick with three picks. He did come back to throw three TDs, but again, almost in garbage time. Fitzpatrick, 18 for 32, 195 yards, three TDs. Cromartie with a 40-yard interception, TD return. Revis with an interception early. Later in the game, Revis was kicked in the head accidentally by his own linebacker, Bart Scott. Seems okay. They took him out of the game. Rich Gannon, who was doing the game, said they should get him out of the game. Then after that, shortly thereafter, he got kicked in the head. But seems to be okay. Jeremy Curley had an excellent game. Touchdown catch, 68-yard punt return for a touchdown. Stephen Hill, the rookie who had the dropsies during the exhibition season, scored two touchdown catches, had a heck of a game. Sanchez did have the time. Both the TD passes to Stephen Hill were pump fake, double moves, Again, if you have time to pump fake as an NFL quarterback, you're going to get a lot of corners to bite. That's what happened yesterday. Jets 48, Buffalo 28. Out in Cleveland, I thought Philly, I have them as a Super Bowl contender. I decided to go with the 49ers. They had all they could handle out of Cleveland, but as Cleveland usually does, I mean, it's just what happens to the Browns, breaking the hearts of the Cleveland fans out there. Philly 17, Cleveland 16. Vic was not good. Philly was not good, but this is the old. They did what they had to do. The Braden Wheaton beginning wasn't very good. 12 for 35, 118 yards, four interceptions. Michael Vick better, but not by much. 29 for 56, 317 yards, two touchdowns. He threw four picks as well. McCoy with 20 rushes for 110 yards for Philly. Richardson, the rookie coming off the knee surgery, 19 rushes for only 39 yards. Macklin for Philly, seven receptions for 96 yards and a TD, but the Eagles come back with a late touchdown. Philly 17, Cleveland 16. Kurt Coleman intercepts Wheaton late in the game for the fourth interception. Clay Harbor with the big touchdown reception from Michael Vick to give the Eagles the 17-16 win. And again, Joe Hayden with an interception, DeQuell Jackson for Cleveland with an interception, return for a TD. But it wasn't enough, and this is what Cleveland does to their fans, man. Tease them, tease them, tease them. I don't know if Whedon's the answer. It looks like they're going to live and die with him, but, you know, he's the 28-year-old rookie. But he was not very good yesterday. The other big debut, and I guess the other big game I should mention with the first two, although I didn't think the Redskins are really Super Bowl contenders. They go down to beat New Orleans in New Orleans. Remember, New Orleans was 8-0 last year at home. Washington 40, New Orleans 32. Of course, the debut of RG3, completed his first eight passes, threw a touchdown pass to Pierre Garçon, who went for 88 yards. RG3 was unbelievable, 11 for 13 for 182 yards and two TDs in his first half as a professional football player. Washington up 20-14 at the half. Alfred Morris, two TDs, 96 yards rushing for Washington. Again, New Orleans made a run of it, but they weren't New Orleans, frankly. Breeze through for 339 yards and two TDs, able to cut the lead to 8. But was unable to get the job done. Hail Mary at the end to try and tie it down 8. Reed Downey with an interception. Game over. RG3 finishes 19 for 26 with 320 yards. Again, Breeze had a good game for Breeze, but not a great game. 339 yards. But New Orleans goes down to defeat, and there's just too many moving parts. Now they are, you probably heard, they are getting all their players back. A circuit court ruled that Goodell did not have the authority or didn't have the evidence to suspend these guys on bounty gate. The coaches' suspensions will stand. The players' suspensions have been lifted for now. Apparently, the panel left Goodell some leeway where he can still suspend these guys, but he needs some direct proof that many people think he does not have. So we'll have to see what happens there. Vilma was on the sidelines, gave a very emotional early game, before the game, cheer up the crowd, but he could not play. He's got a knee injury, but it wasn't enough. Griffin poised, very good, played really well. Washington 40, New Orleans 32. Again, what can you say about the Redskins? Now, they did beat the Super Bowl Giants twice last week. Everybody picked them for last in that division because they have the Giants and Dallas and Philly. That's got to be the toughest division in football. But the Redskins did beat the Giants, the Super Bowl winning Giants, twice last year. They do have a pretty good defense. RG3 certainly adds a lot. Pierre Garçon adds a lot coming over. You know, he had those good years with Manning in Indianapolis. So Washington 40, New Orleans 32. And again, an exciting time if you're in Washington. I still think they're in the wrong division, but they certainly showed up yesterday and beat New Orleans in New Orleans. number of other games to get to. The defending champions, Patriots, that's the only game I picked for you last week versus the spread. Patriots, 5.5 favorites, no 5.5 point favorites, no trouble with the Titans. Belichick, just murder on young quarterbacks, you know, first and second year quarterbacks. What can you say? New England's New England. And their hope for this year, their hope to win the Super Bowl, and I have San Francisco beating New England in the Super Bowl, but their hope is on the defensive end where they drafted two guys high, Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower. Jones just on one play deep in the Tennessee zone. Jake Locker goes back to pass. Jones comes in, strips Locker. Dante Hightower, their other big pick from Alabama, picks up the ball, runs it in for a touchdown to make it 14-3. New England 34, Tennessee 13. Jake Locker, Tennessee's quarterback, hurt his shoulder, making a tackle on what looked like a catch, a fumble, and a recovery by the Patriots where they were going the other way. It was later ruled an incomplete pass. New England stopping Chris Johnson, 11 carries for four yards. And if New England's defense is a lot better, they'll be the Super Bowl favorites. Obviously, they got to the Super Bowl last year, losing to the Giants. With a very poor defense. Yesterday, Brady, 23 for 31, 236 yards, two touchdowns, Gronkowski with a TD catch, Locker, 23 for 32, 229 yards, but really it was shutting down Chris Johnson in the run game, along with Ridley for the Patriots, 21 rushes for 125 yards in the TD. Patriots, easy winners over the Titans, Patriots 34, Titans 13. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on sportstalknetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. sportstalknetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
With high quality, with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want grade hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transfer warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MY-TV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MY-TV. 877-509-MY-TV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to go quickly through the rest of the NFL. We'll get to the baseball, take a quick look at college football, a few other things going on. Yesterday, the debut of Lockout in Indianapolis as they go to Chicago to play the Bears. Now, Luck does not have the team that RG3 has, and they're playing Chicago in Chicago. Chicago could be very good. They could be a Super Bowl contender as well. You know, they were very good last year until Matt Forte got hurt. Yesterday, Chicago 41, Indianapolis 21. Again, I think it's going to be a long year for the Colts. I know some people are picking Luck to win more games than most people think. Yesterday, though, in his debut, 23 for 45 for 309 yards, one touchdown but three interceptions. Cutler was terrible early on, one for his first 12 for 13 yards, including giving up an interception for a TD by Jarrell Friedman. But he finishes up 21 for 35. I mean, just incredible. That means he was 20 for his last 23. 333 yards, two TDs, one pick. But the Cutler, Forte, 80 yards rushing, 40 yards receiving. Michael Bush with two TDs on the ground. Marshall with 9 receptions for 119 yards, including a TD from Cutler. Cutler to Marshall reunited. The Bears are a very good team. Bears 41, Indianapolis 21. Chuck Pagano, the new coach at Indy, still staying positive. But again, I think you have to be realistic. I don't know if Luck's better than RG3 or RG3 is better than Luck. Everyone thinks Luck is the next Peyton Manning, and he might be, but he simply does not have the team around him. I mean, he has Reggie Wayne, 9 receptions for 135 yards, but he really does not have the team, the ability. I don't think they have much of a rushing game that's going to get them over the top, at least not this year. Washington's a better team. To me, they're in a much tougher division, again, with the Eagles and the Giants and the Cowboys. But they have a good defense. Again, they beat the Giants twice last year, so it's not a stretch to say that RG3 is probably going to have a better season, team-wise at least, and quite possibly stats-wise, than Andrew Luck will. A few other games. St. Louis goes to Detroit. Detroit heavily favored, but they trailed most of the game. But Detroit comes back late. Matthew Stafford did not have a good game, but the Lions come back late to get 2 fourth quarter touchdowns and come back and beat the Rams 27-23. Stafford 32 for 48 for 355 yards and a TD, but he also threw 3 interceptions. Fortunately for him, he had Kevin Smith, who rushed for a TD, caught a touchdown pass as well. Johnson with 6 receptions for 111 yards. He's unbelievable. Bradford looked pretty good for St. Louis, 17 for 25, 198 yards and a TD. Cortland Finnegan of St. Louis, mouthy guy but can play, picks off Stafford and returns it for an interception. But not enough. Detroit comes back to beat St. Louis 27-23. I guess you can say a good win for the Lions, but people thought it was going to be an easy win, and they were all out to win that game. Falcons against the Chiefs, close game early, but the Falcons come back to bury the Chiefs at the end, 40-24. Matt Ryan, and again, everybody knows what the test is for Matt Ryan. The test is when's he going to win some playoff games? But he was real good yesterday. 40-24, Ryan, 23-31, 299 yards, 3 touchdown passes. He also had a rushing touchdown. Was the Julio Jones show. He was unbelievable as well. 6 receptions for 108 yards and 2 TDs. Tony Gonzalez going back to KC to play against the team that made him famous. He was certainly great as a Chief, one of the greatest, maybe the greatest tight end who ever lived. He had a touchdown catch. Matt Castle for the Chiefs, 21-33, 258 yards and a TD, but it's not enough. Falcons 40, Chiefs 24. Texans beat the Dolphins. The Dolphins actually leading 3-0 after the first quarter. Tannehill had his problems, 20-36, 219 yards, but 3 picks. Texans scored 24 unanswered in the second quarter to go from 3-0 down to a 24-3 halftime lead. Matt Schaub, 20-31, 266 yards and a TD. Arian Foster, 26 rushes for 79 yards and 2 TDs. Johnson, 8 receptions for 119 yards and a TD. Texans, as expected, hammer the Dolphins. And if you had to pick a team that's going to have a long, long season, I think you're going to pick the Miami Dolphins. A few other games. Buccaneers beat the Panthers. The Panthers, you know, no rushing yardage. I mean, it was just unbelievable. They rushed for 11 yards in the whole game. The Buccaneers, under first-year coach Greg Schiano out of Rutgers, expected to be terrible. They got out a 16-10 win at home over Carolina. Cam Newton, 23-33, 303 yards, and a touchdown pass. But, again, no rushing game for Carolina. Greg Schiano has done a good job, at least initially. I mean, you got to give them credit. Rondé Barber, the ageless wonder, Tiki Barber's twin brother. Tiki Barber seems like he's been out of the league 5 years. Rondé Barber, with his 200th consecutive start, celebrated with an interception of a Cam Newton pass. Tampa Bay gets the win 16-10. Probably the most exciting game. I don't think it's much of a meaningful game long term, but the most exciting game. Jacksonville at Minnesota. Maurice Jones-Drew coming off the holdout, 19 rushes for 77 yards. Adrian Peterson coming off the bad knee injury, 17 rushes for 84 yards and 2 TDs. They go back and forth, but with the new overtime rules, Blair Walsh kicks a 55-yard field goal to send the game into overtime for Minnesota very late. And then in overtime, Minnesota gets the ball. You know the new rules now. If Minnesota gets the ball and scores a touchdown, game over. But if they get the ball and score a field goal, or obviously don't score, then Jacksonville gets the ball. Blair Walsh kicks a 38-yarder in overtime after kicking a 55-yarder to send the game to overtime. Jacksonville is stopped on a fourth down play. Minnesota 26. Jacksonville 23. Again, I don't think either of these teams are doing anything, but in terms of excitement, that was arguably probably the most exciting game that there was. Finally, Seattle goes to Arizona to play the Cardinals. John Skelton, who had gotten the start, wasn't very good. 14 for 128 with a hunt for 149 yards, but he gets hurt. Kevin Cobb comes in after getting beaten for the job, goes 6 for 8, 66 yards, and leads the Cardinals to the game-winning touchdown. Cardinals 20, Seahawks 16. Russell Wilson getting the start almost led them back to victory. 18 for 34, 153 yards and a touchdown, but it wasn't enough as they came down short. Came up short at the end, first and goal with less than a minute to go. They were unable to score. The Cardinals 20, Seattle 16. Again, some shaky refereeing in that game as well. If you watch the game or the highlights, Seattle was actually given an extra timeout on the final drive. The officials admitted as such after the game. And, you know, you like to see that they admit their mistakes. But, again, you have to wonder if that's what would have happened with the regular officials. So I think overall first week the officiating was viewed to be good, maybe adequate to good. There were probably no calls. Now, if Seattle with the extra timeout goes in and scores and wins the game, you have a different conversation today. But the Cardinals hold on, stop the Seahawks, even with the extra timeout for the Seahawks. So Cardinals 20, Seattle 16. Of course, tonight, two games, Bengals in Baltimore to play the Ravens. I picked them both to make the playoffs. The Bengals just a little behind the Ravens and the Steelers in that division. But tonight, that'll be an exciting game. Also, Chargers at the Raiders. That's a weird division. I think Denver can win that division because you have good teams in the Chargers and Raiders, but you don't have any clear cut. You know, it just seems that the Chargers always find a way. You know, you think they're the best team. They always find a way to not win their division or just not play as well as they're capable of. I mean, I think it was last year they led the league in offense, they led the league in defense, and they were 8-8. I mean, that's just bizarre. North Turner still hangs on there. But those are two interesting games tonight. 7 o'clock Bengals at Ravens, 10:15 Eastern, Chargers at Raiders. That's part of the TV schedule that we'll get to a little later. We're going to get to the baseball shortly, but first a couple of non-baseball, non-football things. You know, lost in the shuffle, although very exciting. The U.S. Open, the women's final was yesterday, number one Victoria Azarenka against Serena Williams. Now, I actually saw the very end of this. Williams won the first set 6-2. Azarenka won the second set 6-2. And in the third set, Azarenka was able to break Williams. She was up 5-3. She was serving to win the U.S. Open, but Serena Williams made a fantastic comeback. She broke back. She tied it at 5. She broke Azarenka again and won the third set 7-5 to win her 15th major. Serena Williams, arguably the greatest tennis player, female tennis player of all time, wins the U.S. Open and Wimbledon at the age of 30, which, you know, is very old for a tennis player. But Serena Williams comes back on the brink of defeat, comes back to beat number one seed Victoria Azarenka in three sets, the third set 7-5 after being down 5-3. That is really amazing. On the men's side, you probably know because of all the rain and all the weather in New York, U.S. Open taking a lot of criticism. They won't build a stadium with a retractable roof on it, so when it rains, you get rained out. And this will be the fifth year in a row that the men's final has been rained out from Sunday to Monday. Yesterday, Novak Djokovic against David Ferrer. Djokovic 2-seed, Ferrer the 4-seed. Now you recall that Ferrer won the first set 6-2 on Saturday, but it was stopped in the rain to be completed Sunday, and it was a total turnaround. Djokovic winning easily 6-1, 6-4, 6-2, the three sets on Sunday. Sets him up for a Monday final, that's this afternoon at 4 o'clock, against Andy Murray, who's really on a roll now. Andy Murray trying to become the first Englishman to win, or someone from Great Britain, I should say, to win a major since the late 1930s. It'll be Andy Murray against Novak Djokovic. That's 4 o'clock this afternoon in New York. But this is Murray's fifth final in a Grand Slam event. He's 0-4. But, you know, he won the Olympic gold medal. He might be on a roll now. We'll have to see. He lost in the final at Wimbledon, of course, but this might be his time. But certainly that should be a great matchup, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if you can get to see it. Obviously, there'll be no sports competition with it at 4 o'clock. But, of course, you have Monday Night Football. You have the baseball continuing on. But that should be interesting. Hopefully Andy Murray can get his first major. It would be great for him. It would be great for Great Britain. Also lost in the shuffle, BMW Championship in golf. And the scores were off the charts here, but it was Rory McIlroy at the end at 20 under to win the championship, beating Tiger Woods, beating Phil Mickelson. You got to give McIlroy a lot of credit. He's got 6 wins this year, 3 of his last 4 tournaments he's won. He won the PGA Major by 8 strokes. He wins again yesterday. And you probably know this stat by now. If you haven't, you will hear it soon. There are only 3 guys in the history of golf to have 6 titles, PGA titles, by the age of 23. The first was Jack Nicklaus. The second was Tiger Woods. The third is Rory McIlroy, again, winning three of his last four. Yesterday finishes 20 under at the BMW Championship to fend off Mickelson and Tiger Woods and everybody else. He's got to be viewed to be the number one player in the world now. He's just been playing out of his mind, again, winning three of his last four events and becoming the third golfer in the history of golf to have won six PGA titles by the ripe old age of 23. He's also picked up $4.4 million in his last four tournaments, and that's just the nature of golf and the money that you can make in the sport of golf. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Thousand families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on SportsTalkNetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
With high quality, with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bella Wood prefinished flooring with a 100-year transfer. Warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese. Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to four rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HDTV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part? The pristine digital picture and sound.
Call 877-509-MYTV.
So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit
card. Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call 877-509-MYTV. 877-509-MYTV.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We're going to get to all the baseball in a minute. First, just briefly on the college football. Obviously, most of that took place on Saturday. But Arkansas, who many people thought could beat the number one team in the country, Alabama, actually lost in overtime to Louisiana Monroe, a shocking upset. They did lose their quarterback to an injury, but for Louisiana Monroe to score 34 points, even in an overtime game against Arkansas, tells you that Arkansas, and I don't think anyone else, can really play with Alabama. I think Alabama is probably going to be head and shoulders over everybody because they're just the best team in the country. And I think people in college football try and make it like there's a real close chance. Can USC beat Alabama? I don't think so. That's obviously the hope. LSU, no Tyrann Mathieu, they can't beat Alabama. Florida State, maybe they're the only other team I thought had a chance, but it really is interesting. It's almost like they're trying to generate false excitement in college football. And again, most of these games are jokes. Yeah, now people say, oh, look, Arkansas, the number eight team in the country at the time, was upset by a team you've virtually never heard of or can't name two guys on. And that's true. But again, if you have 10 or 15 of those games every week, it's like the NCAA basketball tournament. If you have 32 games and then 16 and 16, you're going to have some upsets. That's just the nature of sports. But I think Alabama's head and shoulders. The new AP poll is out. Alabama number one, Southern Cal number two, LSU three, Oregon four, Florida and Oklahoma tied at five, Georgia number seven. Now, Georgia had the, I don't want to say only legitimate win, but, you know, Missouri against Georgia, Missouri in the SEC now, Georgia came back to beat them pretty handily. But again, I think these teams, Texas A&M, Missouri, I think these teams that are coming into the SEC really don't understand how tough the SEC is. Everyone can look from a distance and say, SEC, best team in college, you know, best conference in college. But now when these teams actually come in and have to play these teams week in and week out, and Georgia's a very good team, Florida's good, not great. You know, Texas A&M loses to Florida, Missouri loses to Georgia. But that's not even the big boys. You know, the big boys being Alabama and LSU. So it's very interesting, but I think college football to a large degree is going to be a snooze fest. Again, the problem in college football is if a team plays 12 games, a top five team, you know, eight or nine or ten of them are like joke games. And that, to me, is the problem. But I think Alabama's head and shoulders. I think Southern Cal maybe, Florida State maybe. I don't think LSU can beat them. I don't think Oregon can beat them. Frankly, I don't think anyone can beat them. I'm just trying to see if things went right for another team on the right day. Could they beat Alabama? And I think the answer is no, frankly. So four teams dropped out of the top 25, Arkansas, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma State. Four teams moved into the top 25, UCLA, Tennessee, Arizona, and BYU. But I'll say it again, I think Alabama is head and shoulders over the rest of college football. Nick Saban, you know, people are saying, oh, he's got no personality, et cetera. But all he does is win. All he does is recruit top players. All he does is produce pros. And to me, he clearly is the best college coach. Now, can Urban Meyer eventually catch him up at Ohio State? I think there's a chance, but you don't know what's going to happen with Urban Meyer. You don't know what's going to happen with his health. You don't know if he's going to be able to maintain that same level of intensity. Ohio State is better this year because he's there. Give him a year or two to recruit, and he'll have a top five team. But again, it just seems that Alabama seems to have a stranglehold on, if not national championships, at least playing for the national championship or being in the hunt for the national championship, essentially as long as they want to do that. I mean, that's the reality, even in the very tough SEC, especially with the loss of Tyrann Mathieu down at LSU. Let's get to the baseball now, an interesting weekend. I mean, this is the time, the last three, 4 weeks of the baseball schedule. We'll start in the AL East, the most interesting place. The Yankees and the Orioles wind up splitting four games. Yesterday, the Yankees hammered the Orioles 13-3. Curtis Grandison has been having so much trouble that he's essentially been benched at times. Comes in as a pinch hitter, hits a home run his 35th of the year, doesn't come into the game till the sixth inning, goes 3-for-3 with 5 RBIs. Derek Jeter, what can you say about him? 324 average now, 2-for-4 yesterday, actually battling for a batting title, not that he cares about it, but he hits his 15th home run. Most importantly, they get the win. Yankees 79-61, now a game over the Orioles at 78-62. Just want to go back to Saturday briefly. If you saw the last play of the Orioles-Yankee game Saturday night, Yankees had come back to be down by one run, bases loaded. First and third, one out, Mark Teixeira up at the plate. Ground ball to second, 4-6-3 double play, except Teixeira playing with that bad calf, dives head first into first, clearly beats the throw. I wrote a column about the brilliant Jeter bunt that sent up that whole inning and then the Teixeira double play up at sportstalknetwork.com. I encourage you to read it. But there were so many problems there. Yes, it was a terrible call, but if Teixeira runs right through the base, his whole body would have been past the base. It would have been a much easier call. Jerry Mills, the first base ump, blew the call, no doubt. That would have made the game 5-5. So not that the Yankees would have won, but they definitely would have tied. And it's when you have that kind of play that ends the game that you want replay. Because if he calls him safe, it's a 5-5 tie and A-Rod's up. If he calls him out, the game is over. He called him out even though he was clearly safe. And Teixeira, after the game, and give him credit, he said he was playing on one leg and he's out again now. Give him credit, he said he didn't think he could really run through the bag, that he never dives into first, but he dove in this time because he thought he'd get there quicker. Of course, it's been proven you don't get there quicker. If he had just run through the bag like he normally does, he would have been safer, and it would have been an easier call for the ump. What I maintain is when you put these umps in a position to call plays they don't call, like guys diving headfirst into first, where the inclination to me always seems for the umpire to call that guy out, you put the umpire in a place where he can make a mistake. I think if Teixeira had run through the base, he would have been safe. In any event, there's an interesting article up at sportstalknetwork.com on the specific beautiful bunt by Derek Jeter. First and second, nobody out. You're down two, and the question on the TV was whether the Yankees should bunt, and everyone decided they shouldn't because you don't want to give up an out, because Jeter's red hot, because you're down two, you don't want to play for a tie on the road. And it was very obvious, if you have a guy who's good enough to bunt for a hit, not sacrifice, but for a hit, then you should bunt for a hit. That's exactly what Jeter did. He laid down such a beautiful bunt that there wasn't even a throw, and that put the Yankees in a position to tie up the game. They wound up not tying up the game because of a bad call, but the bunt is the most underutilized offensive weapon in baseball. The sabermetricians with their, you know, on 10,000 bunts, you're better off not bunting, or on 10,000 times first and second, less than two outs, excluding pitchers, you're better off not bunting than bunting. The statistics prove that doesn't take into account the great bunter who can bunt for a hit. And in my opinion, you should always bunt for a hit if you're a great bunter when it's first and second. You have to give yourself up. And that's exactly what Jeter did. Bases loaded. I was already writing an article on the bunt when the Teixeira play happened, so you had to deal with that. It was a terrible umpire's call. But in any event, the Orioles get that win Saturday. The Yankees get their win Sunday. Now, because the Yankees and the Orioles were beating each other up, it could have given Tampa Bay time to or room to gain some ground, but Tampa Bay had their own issues. Of course, they were playing Texas, so it's not like they had a walkover. But yesterday, big game, James Shields, along with B.J. Upton's 3 home runs. Upton 3-for-5, 3 home runs, 3 RBIs. He was the difference. Shields with a 2-hit complete game shutout event against a very tough Rangers lineup. I mean, when you 2-hit Kinsler, Andrus, Hamilton, Beltre, Nelson Cruz, Young, Murphy, Soto, the catcher, and Mitch Moreland batting ninth, and you only give up hits to Cruz and Murphy, I mean, that's an unbelievable job, but that's what big game James can do. Shields 14-8. Oswalt took the loss. He's 4-3. Oswalt actually left in the second inning with an elbow issue. He'd already given up Upton's first home run. Again, B.J. Upton 3 home runs, Tampa Bay 6, Texas nothing. We'll get to the standings in a little bit, but those were the certainly two most important games in the AL East, also not just for the AL East, but for the playoffs as well. The other interesting game between two contenders, Detroit in Los Angeles to play the Angels, or in Anaheim, I should play, to play the Angels. Angels 3, Tigers 2, Greinke pitching well as an Angel, now 5-2, 7 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Again, Greinke 5-2 as an Angel. Frieri with his 18th save, a 4-out save, 3 strikeouts in those 4 outs. Sanchez takes the loss, pitched 7 innings, only gave up 3 earned, but he takes the loss. He's 2-5. Trout, I still think a viable MVP candidate, now hitting .328, 27 homers, 77 RBIs, hits his 27th homer yesterday. Kiyosbo with his 9th home run of the year for the Angels. Angels 3, Tigers 2. Tigers only manage 5 hits. Nobody gets 2 hits. Dierks, the left fielder, and Brennan Bosch drive in the only 2 runs for the Tigers. Angels 3, Tigers 2. Angels 77-63, climbing back into it. Tigers 73-66, trying to stay relevant, frankly, in the American League. We'll get to the American League standings in 1 second. Just want to go through the other games quickly. Blue Jays beat the Red Sox 4-3. Lyon gets the win. He's 2-0. Clay Buchholz takes the loss. He's 11-6. Jansen gets his 20th save. Pedroia and Ellsbury both healthy now. Too late and in a loss. Pedroia's 14th homer. Ellsbury's 3rd home run of the year. Twins beat the Indians 8-7. Dunson gets the win. He's 4-10. Vinny Pistano gets the loss. He's 3-2. Morneau hits his 19th for Minnesota. Santana hits his 15th for Cleveland. The Royals beat the first place White Sox 2-1 with 2 in the top of the 10th. White Sox score 1 in the bottom of the 10th. Not enough. Herrera gets the win in relief. He's 3-2. Myers gets the loss. He's 2-3. Holland gets his 13th save of the year. And the Athletics, definitely in the wild card lead and in the hunt in the West. Athletics beat the Mariners 4-2. Maloney gets the win. He's 12-10. Vargas takes the loss. He's 14-10. Balfour gets a save, his 16th. Johnny Gomes hits his 16th homer for Oakland. Donaldson hits his 7th. Seager hits his 17th for the Mariners. Want to go quickly to the standings in the American League. We'll get to the National League in a minute. In the East, the Yankees one up on the Orioles, 79-61 to 78-62. Orioles have one of the two wild cards. Tampa Bay, 77-63, only 2 games out of the East lead, only 1 game out of a wild card spot. Toronto and Boston long out of it. The White Sox holding on to a 2-game lead over Detroit. White Sox 75-64, Detroit 73-66. Detroit 2 games behind the White Sox in the Central, but 4.5 out of a wild card. Kansas City, Cleveland, and Minnesota far out of it now. Texas 83-57, lead the West. Oakland 79-60, 3.5 games behind Texas, but they do have one of the two wild card spots. Angels trying to close in on two fronts at 77-63, 6 games out in the West, but more importantly for them, only 1 game out of the wild card, or the second wild card spot, I should say. Angels have a chance on 2 levels. Seattle now out of it. Seattle, despite playing close to .500, to me officially out of it now. They're 11.5 out of the wild card after that short losing streak. They're now 67-74. Want to switch to the National League. The main game in the National League, and when I say main game, I'm talking about games between two contenders. The main game yesterday, Dodgers in San Francisco to play the Giants, the eternal rivalry. Again, I thought the Dodgers were going to catch the Giants, but yesterday, Zito pitches well. The Giants shut out the Dodgers. Giants 4, Dodgers nothing. Zito moves to 11-8, 6 1/3, 4 hits, no runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Zito 11-8 with a 4.33 ERA. Blanton takes the loss, 5 1/3, 6 hits, 4 runs, all earned. Blanton now 9-13, Giants 4, Dodgers nothing. Posey hits his 20th home run of the year. He's come back after that devastating leg injury last year. Posey now with 20 home runs and 87 RBIs. He's having a heck of a year. Pagan with two hits, hitting 287, coming over from the Mets. Scudero hitting 288. Sandoval, 284. Posey, he's got to be an MVP candidate, I think. 2-for-4 with a home run. He's hitting 327. Give the Giants a lot of credit. Not only have they held their own with the Dodgers since the Dodgers made that trade, but they've actually increased their league. We'll get to the NL standings in a minute. Giants now 79-61. Dodgers 74-67. Ellis, the catcher, the only guy with more than one hit on the Dodgers, as they could only muster five hits against Barry Zito and some relievers. Quickly, Phillies clinging on to, I think, false hope. They do sweep the Rockies 2 yesterday to move to 69-71. The Marlins shut out the Nationals 8-0. Ricky Nolasco gets the win. He's 12-12. Stanton hits his 33rd homer. Edwin Jackson takes the loss. He's 9-10. And, you know, it's interesting. You have to watch the Nationals now. Strasburg shut down for the year. Jackson did not pitch well yesterday. You got to wonder if that whole thing is going to mess them up mentally. Cardinals trying to stay relevant. Beat the Brewers 5-4. Lynn gets the win. He's 14-7. Lowe takes the loss. He's 6-5. Beltran hits his 29th homer for Cleveland. Holiday hits his 26th. Lowly Padres beat the Diamondbacks, really hurting their chances. 8-2. Warner gets the win. He's 2-1. Corbin takes the loss. He's 5-7. And as I said, the Phillies sweep the Rockies. The Braves beat the Mets 3-2 in the Chipper Jones final farewell tour, if you will. Braves get one in the 10th to beat the Mets 3-2. Kimbrel gets the win in relief. He's 1-1. Parnell takes the loss. He's 4-4. Moylan gets a save his first. McCann hits his 20th home run for Atlanta, who's also in the hunt for at least a wild card spot. And the lowly Astros beat the Reds 5-1. Gonzalez gets the win. He's 2-0. Cueto takes the loss. He's 17-8. The Cubs beat the Pirates, who are kind of slipping out of it. Still have a chance. Cubs 4, Pirates 2. Pirates drop to 72-67. Alfonso Soriano, still a home run hitter, hits his 28th. McCutchen falling out of it as an MVP candidate, I think, as the Pirates fall out of it. Still manages his 25th home run of the year. Quickly to the standings in the National League. Washington 86-54, lead Atlanta 81-60 by 5.5 games, 6 in the loss column. Atlanta does have one of the two wild cards. Again, I always mention the Phillies because I got a lot of respect for them. You know, they're at least healthy now. They're 69-71. That means they got 22 games left. They're 6 out of a wild card berth. Mets and Miami out of it. Cincinnati 84-57, lead St. Louis by 8.5 games, but St. Louis has the second wild card. Pittsburgh 72-67, they're 11 behind Cincinnati. They're not going to catch them, but they are still 2.5 out of the wild card. Milwaukee 2 games under 500, they're 6 out of a wild card. Chicago and Houston long out of it on both fronts. And the interesting, or I thought it would be more interesting, West. The Giants, 79-61. They lead the Dodgers by 5.5 games, 6 in the loss column. The Dodgers, 74-67. But the Dodgers only a game and a half out of a wild card berth. Arizona, as we talked about, clinging to hope at 69-72. They're 6.5 out of a wild card berth. San Diego and Colorado long out of it. Quickly to your TV today, as we talked about, 4 o'clock Eastern, U.S. Open Tennis Final on CBS. This will be a standalone, you know, big event. Can Andy Murray win the first major for someone from Great Britain for the first time since the late 1930s? He's got to go against Novak Djokovic, 4 o'clock Eastern. Tonight, Major League Baseball, 8 o'clock Eastern on the MLB Network, a big series, Tigers against the White Sox, obviously for first place in the AL Central. And the Monday Night Football doubleheader, first Monday Night Football of the year, Bengals at Ravens, 7 o'clock Eastern, and then at 10:15 Eastern, Chargers at the Raiders, obviously both divisional games and very important games, even though it's the first game. This is the Steve Callis Show, we're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.